Okay, good morning.
Good morning.
Today's share is sponsored Eli Nishmas HaChaver Eliyahu Ben HaChaver Gershom. Thank you very much for the sponsorship. I decided to talk this week about Chinese auctions, raffles, the relevance, halakhically, how these things work. Some people might accuse me of doing this topic just to push. The yeshiva is having a Chinese auction tonight, and thus, wow, free advertising here at Sharon Yeshiva about Chinese auctions. I was warned ahead of time, Rabbi Kier, you better fix this share, that there's nothing wrong with the yeshiva's Chinese auction. Otherwise, I'll be in big trouble. I try to do things straight. No promises. But the real truth, actually last night was probably the biggest Chinese auction that exists today in the Jewish world. I tried getting stats about it, but it's mind-boggling. The URA organization is a wonderful organization that does Kirov. The biggest form of Kirov they do is they run summer camps for children who are not privy to begin with a Jewish education, and they're very successful slowly bringing these children into yeshivas, affecting the families. They do an all-encompassing work. A lot of times in Kirov, you sometimes have an issue where there's some initial connection made, but after that initial connection is made, there's no follow-through, there's no covering and thinking about all different types of needs. URA is an organization, also they didn't pay me for this. URA is an organization which covers the full gamut of Jewish life and really takes care of the people that they're involved with. And they're very successful. Part of the reason, any good thing, is they have a lot of money behind them. And they are a very well-run organization. I was in New York this week. I think the two biggest things they have funding the organization is their Chinese auction and their cars for kids. I was driving, you know, on the BQE between, you know, passing through Manhattan. Multiple times as you drive this major thoroughfare in New York City, you see huge billboards for cars with a K for kids. It's a major, major asset that they have, donating cars to them. But the Chinese auction alone, someone just told me that going back already a few years ago, the net profit that the organization brought in from the Chinese auction was $6 million.
How much would we bring in?
The way they run the auction, they're able to reach people all across America, really all across the world. The prizes they offer, that itself shows you what, you know, their budget is. There's a prize you could win. I can't, at least 5 trips to Eretz Yisrael. You could win, you know, lots of shekels. You could, that's also an expensive prize. There's a prize for $18,000. There's a prize for $36,000. There's an amazing amount. You know, they also have interesting ways of prizes. The one prize is, you know, a shadchanim working to find a shidduch for your daughter or someone else, you know, that could come in quite handy. It was, this is unconfirmed rumors. Somebody told me that last night, I don't know, they have this auction, they have it on television, I don't know, all different things, up to the wee hours of the morning. Somebody from this neighbor, North Miami Beach, won a helicopter tour of Eretz Yisrael. Quite amazing. And really today, we're going to try to understand the halachic workings of an enterprise like this. It's a big deal. And, you know, raffles, Chinese auctions, you probably can't find a Jewish institution that doesn't have one of these things. And Baruch Hashem, the scope of Jewish institutions you have, we're talking about thousands and thousands and thousands of institutions all running raffle campaigns, Chinese auctions, the likes. So to understand how these things work, I think when you talk about Chinese auctions, I have to tell some stories. Different people have different reactions. Those who ever won at a Chinese auction have a very happy connection to the enterprise. Look, I won. I can point to something in my house that I got it with. And I think Vegas knows the same idea. You win once, that will bring you back many, 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 many times. Even if the net... Right, most people don't win, and then you could end up with a tremendous net loss. But people like being involved in Chinese auctions, especially. The truth is, if it's for a tzedakah, if it's for a Jewish organization, obviously everybody's a winner, just like those all everyone who comes to this year. So, I know somebody. It's actually myself. I remember once, you know. You get married, I guess you have some of two incomes, my Kohler check, my wife's check. So, okay, Baruch Hashem, you have to give tzedakah. So I was like, Shonari Shona, I was married. And I'm going to leave the name of the institution out, as we'll see soon in the story why. And I gave a tzedakah to some raffle. So, a few weeks later, I get a phone call in the mail. It was actually the Rosh Yeshiva of that yeshiva. Calls me up and tells me, you won our raffle. Wow, I was quite excited. The grand prize was like $10,000. Not bad. No, you didn't win the grand prize. Okay. Well, the first prize was two tickets to Eretz Yisrael. Not too shabby. Nope, you didn't win the first prize. He's calling me up to tell me what I won. Okay, it was Eretz Yisrael. You know, a few nights stay in a hotel in Manhattan. Sounds nice. Nope, you did not win the second prize, but you won the third prize. I'm like, okay. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. He's asking me, you know, should we ship it to you? I'm like, I guess the institution was far from where I was living in New York. Sure, please, ship it. It's my address and this. What is the third prize? So he says it, a ding-a-ling sports phone. To be honest, I didn't know what a ding-a-ling sports phone was. But okay, the third prize in the auction, he's shipping it to me. Great. My mom had no clue. This is like pre-internet days. I didn't just like Google, what's a ding-a-ling sports phone? So, a few weeks later, I get a package in the mail, box. It's from this institution. This is what we won. I open up the box. You can't explain it. It was a phone shaped like a basketball. It was made in China. This is in the old days of China. It was actually on the box. It spelled as sports phone. SPORTSFONE. Sports phone. Needless to say, I think I did try to plug it in to see if it actually worked. But it was a piece of junk. The head of the institution obviously got a kick out of such a thing. That, wow, you're the winner of the ding-a-ling sports phone. I'm not sure I get it. I remember I told this story over to my father-in-law, who has a little bit of a sense of humor. I told him how I won this. He puts his hand on my shoulder and says, Yaakov, you're not a winner. You're a loser.
As only your spirit could say.
I told my daughter.
So I do think, looking back, 15 years later, I do think I won because I've told the story over multiple times and I've gotten a good laugh out of it. So, okay, I won something. But it's a certain, you know, thrill of winning, you know, you get when you're involved in something, the Chinese auction. And I'd like today to try to address four issues about auctions, raffles, and try to understand it from a halakhic perspective. One more form of introduction before I list off the four topics I'd like to touch is I'm a little apprehensive of giving this share because this is the first share that I'm coming across where I did not find Rabbi Sharfman directly talked about. First couple of shares we spoke about Zecher Nishmas, Kaddish, Rabbi Sharfman had a share on. Last week's Lag BaOmer, Rabbi Sharfman had a share on. This topic, I went through the 240 shirim. I could not find directly a topic that talked about this. But I believe, even if I can't find the exact topic, I have his courage behind me. Because really, giving a share on a topic outside of Aruch Chaim is a dangerous thing. It's a scary thing. Our Torah literature that we have today, most halachic literature is on Aruch Chaim. That's the most well-read, obviously the most daily applicable halachos in the topic of how we live our lives, Hilchos Tefillah, Hilchos Yom Tovim, Shabbos. All that is in Aruch Chaim. Brachos. Once you get out of Aruch Chaim, okay, Yoredeya, you have issues involving kashrus of your house. Hilchos Avelos is in Yoredeya. Kibbutz Aim, that you have. This year, Evan Ezer, marriage, okay? Fortunately, Gidin, these things in our neighborhood with Zochat have one of the world's experts in Hilchos Gidin. Okay. We have things, interaction with that. Choshen Mishpat, business halacha, is an area which there's not so much knowledge. And it's a much harder area to deal with. And unfortunately, it is quite relevant. Nowadays, it's become a little bit more popular. There are some, you can find on the internet, shirim on choshen mishpat, business halacha. But really, in a certain sense, it's uncharted ground. But Rabbi Sharfman, if you look through his shirim, maybe didn't give a topic of Chinese auctions, but his shirim went beyond Aruch Chaim. And he gave multiple shirim under the realm of choshen mishpat, which that I'll advertise for people to check out on the website. So I hope, Ezra Hashem, that we'll find clarity and insight in these halachas. The four issues that I'd like to deal with is, number one, firstly, how the Chinese auctions work in halacha. We know every transaction has to have a halachic basis. There's a concept we know of a kinyan. A person wants to acquire something. You're doing a business deal. So there has to be a halachic means of how the money is transferring or the object is transferring from me to you. You can't just say, well, I bought it or this. How's that work? There are kinyanim. There are means of how we transfer ownership of objects. And the Torah's form of transferring may not be the same as some American laws of how to transfer objects. So firstly, I'd like to understand the underpinnings. What is the Chinese auction? Is there a halakhic right to these raffles that the winner gets to keep what he has? Where does that come from? First question. Second question, we'll talk about stories, how relevant this is. Is what happens if there was a mistake in the raffle? A ticket left out, additional tickets added, pulled. There could be so many things that go wrong in these things. And what happens then? That's a very relevant second issue I'd like to talk about. Third one, is there a difference in the manner of how a Chinese auction or these raffles are run? There are different nuances. Can you pick your own prize? You have a choice of prizes. You have multiple rounds. If you win this, then you go to another round of a raffle. Are all these forms of raffles the same? Are there halachic differences between them? And finally, fourthly, which is a topic which, when this share was announced, Chinese auctions in halacha, multiple people came over to me and was like, can I use a Chinese auction? Can I use miser money to buy tickets for a Chinese auction? That's a very, very practical question, which many people ask. Many people have asked such a question. And I'd like to go through that. It's a tshuva from Rav Moshe. And there's interesting differences, perhaps, over there you might find between halacha and modern day American law.
Yes. Sorry to interrupt, but isn't there a basic question of how you can nismach to the
Torah? Thank you. Perfect point to bring up. There's one issue which I wasn't planning on devoting a share to, because really that itself is a share. Really, when you talk about Chinese auctions and raffles, one might bring up the issue of gambling. Gambling is a big area in the Torah. A gambler might even be possible to aid us. And gambling deserves its own share. The simple answer I'll give, which many posts can say, why there's no problem with Chinese auctions or raffles for Torah institutions, is all those things don't work because of gambling is a might even be an issue of stealing money because of a concept called asmachta. Asmachta lo kanya. Asmachta means your mindset is I'm going to win, and since I'm going to win, I don't really want someone else to win. And when someone else wins the poker game and walks out with the pot, I didn't really want that. And therefore, on some level, the person who wins the pot, wins the fantasy football league, perhaps even, might walk away with someone else's money. That's a concept called asmachta lo kanya. But most posts can say, when it comes to a Chinese auction, where it's to or a raffle to a Torah institution, your main focus is I'm giving the money to the tzedakah. That's an additional element there. Most poker games are not for tzedakah. Most fantasy football leagues I've yet to see for the benefit of the yeshiva. So that's much different. So that's an area which deserves its own share. Sometime you want to talk about gambling, you know. So hold on. I would like to begin first with a very important background. I'd like to read this Gemara, a very critical Gemara here in understanding the whole topic. It's a Gemara in Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Vav Amud Beis. For those who are doing Daf Yomi, this might be coming up or just did come up recently. Very, very interesting Gemara. The Gemara says, Tanya Rabbi Yossi Omer, Ha'achin Shecholku, brothers dividing a Yerusha, dividing an inheritance. Kivin Sha'ala Goro La'echa Mehem, once somebody gets the lottery, Kana Kula, all of them acquire it. Meaning you'll make a lottery to see you're dividing up possessions of the deceased parent. Who should get which house, which field. So you make a lottery. That lottery, Gemara says, totally works. And this brother gets that field, that brother gets that field. Perfect. My taima, the Gemara asks a question, where do we get this from? What's the source of a lottery, a gorel, working? Amar Belazer, Ketchilas Eretz Yisrael, just like the beginning of our getting the land of Israel. Ma Tchilas Tchila Begorel, just like over there, they divvied up the land with a lottery. Avkam Begorel, so too here. So the Gemara is saying the source of a lottery working is how they divvied up the land of Israel. The Gemara then challenges this. Hey, Ima Lahalam be Klipi v'Urim v'Turmin. Over there by Eretz Yisrael, there were these Klipi. They had lottery tickets, but they also had Urim v'Turmin. The Kohen, Choshen, the breastplate that the Kohen Gadol had with the names of all the different Shvatim on there, all the different stones there, wasn't just a nice ornament that the Kohen Gadol wore, a shame of the Pharisees. Our Chazal tell us that the Urim V'Tumim had special, you call magical powers, and you were able to ask questions, and the different stones would light up, And the Kohen, Kohen Gadol, you know, the leaders of Klal Yisrael understood the system, and it was a way of communicating on Piruach HaKodesh what was going on. So the Gemara here is challenging, huh? You can't bring a proof that we can make a goral, we can make a lottery from Eretz Yisrael. There they had the Urim V'Tumim. Here we don't. So the Gemara answers. Amar Rav Ashi, Bahi Ana, the Katsayis Lahadadi, Gamri Umakni Lahadadi. Bahi Ana, with this benefit, the Katsayis Lahadadi, that they listen to each other, Gamri Umakni Lahadadi, the parties involved have das, have intent to be kona, to make a trade, to make a kinyan between each other. Now we're going to come back, we're going to learn this Gemara on two levels. The simple pshat in this Gemara, which the Rashbam here on the bottom learns, is according to the Gemara's conclusion, right? The Gemara here concludes, two dots, simple. That really, nowadays, we are able to have a lottery, the same way they had lotteries when they divvied up Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara asked the question, well, there they had the Urim V'Tumim. Gemara says, you know, you don't need the Urim V'Tumim today. Because as long as people are happy with what's going on, they're agreeing to it, it wasn't against their will. So you know what? That lottery functions the same way the lottery in Eretz Yisrael. There you needed it for a special side reason. But really the lottery that we have is the same lottery that they had giving up Eretz Yisrael. It works the same. That's a simple reading of the Gemara, copy the Rashbam. I didn't check Art Scroll, I'm sure Art Scroll will translate it that way too. That being said, you find in Halacha, not only here in the Gemara Bava Basra, but you find across the board in many, many areas, the concept of using a lottery. Right? We know in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, a lottery was used for the Kohanim and choosing different aspects of the Avodah. I found there's a Magen Avram, it ties our three Shirim together the past few weeks, talks about what happens when you have multiple people who have a Yurtzeit and want to daven for the Amid. The Magen Avram and Simon Kuf Lamed Beis, post Beis, there talks about using a lottery to determine who should daven for the Amid. There's even a question, potentially even using a lottery for a din in nefashos, a community that has to give someone over to Rachman Lassan, to the Goyim, otherwise they would wipe out a whole city. Who do you pick? Right? You know, nowadays there are, you know, they've been debating, you know, who loses their airline seat. That's been, you know, they'll make a lottery for that. You know, people get in trouble. But the halacha considers lotteries so strong, there's a tzad in halacha, you might potentially even be able to use such a thing for such a horrendous situation like that. So lotteries do carry a lot of weight. And the basis of this stem from this Gemara we just read. Now, I saw an interesting question posed by Shlomo Kluger. Shlomo Kluger was a great Gaon Posek, earlier generation. And the question he posed is a concept called Tamim Tia in Hashem Elokecha. The Torah writes, you should be simple with Hashem your God. From that pasuk we derive many halachas. This Rabbi Sharfman could have touched on it in the share. Right? We're not supposed to be going to fortune tellers to find out, palm readers to figure out. Oh no, some people don't remember Kobol, sometimes people think that's different. But people go to all types of, you know, black magic, fortune tellers, and these things are not allowed in the Torah based on Tamim Tia and Hashem Elokecha. So he deals with the question. It sounds like you're playing real games with mazel here. You're having a raffle, you're putting, you know, even your money on the line, sometimes even a life on the line. How can you play games with such a thing? Sounds like, you know, doesn't sound like a very straight, simple thing. And Rav Shlomo Kluger says, no, makes a very nice distinction. The Isser of Tamim Tiyah and Hashem Elokecha is specifically towards the future. You want to know the future, you want to go and find out what's going to happen to you. That's an issue of Tamim Tiyah and Hashem Elokecha. But when it comes to figuring something out, you have to divide up inheritance between Yerushim. You want to figure out practically who should get the Amud, who should win this raffle, different things where you're trying to single a person out. That, he says, is the valid means. 100%. A valid means of determining who should win, who should get this, that you could use a raffle. But I did see people say, and I believe you see that from his question too, the simple understanding really what we're doing when we're having a raffle is we're playing with our mazel. I'm putting this ticket in because, you know what? I want to win. And I'm utilizing the force of mazel. That there are, you know, it's not just the simple odds. We know HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the odds of a person winning could be very slim. But with that one ticket, a person could win. My wife was just asking me, we're putting in for these Chinese auctions, you know, what's the hashkafa? Should you buy multiple tickets, one ticket? What's the hishtadl sort of thing? I'm not going to talk about this on tape. That might get involved in...
Too late.
Right? I'm not going to resolve the issue in one tape. 100%. But really what a raffle is, you're subjecting yourself to mazel. I'm putting myself into a situation where the mazel will win. So if I have mazel, I'll win this auction. I'll win this raffle. If I don't have mazel, I won't win. So you are subjecting yourself to this interesting aspect. But it's not the same thing as a fortune teller or something else, which would be outlawed based on Tamim Tiyah and Hashem Elokecha. So that's a general background of raffles, Chinese auctions, in halacha. Now let's talk about a specific case. Let's say an auction gets messed up. And think about it. I think it was in the news not too long ago. One of the major award shows on national television, watched by millions and millions of people. It was run, I believe, by PricewaterhouseCoopers, one of the best accounting firms in New York. They were in charge of the results of this. And they messed up. They announced the wrong winner, the wrong envelope, this, that. How could such a thing happen? If something like that could happen at an internationally televised event in front of millions of people with everything on the line, don't you think every two-bit yeshiva or Jewish organization that's running the Chinese auction, which doesn't have PricewaterhouseCoopers being behind their auction, don't you think there's a chance of mistakes happening? Now, I guess, right, Dr. Berman's shaking his head. No, of course not. It won't happen. Now, we do have, you know, the added siyata d'shmaya that we're doing it for a good cause, that everyone obviously is trying their best to make sure that it works well. But obviously, people are only human, and mistakes do happen. So what happens when a mistake happens? Now, I'll give you multiple scenarios. Let's start simple, right? First scenario, you put in an extra ticket. One person's name, unfortunately, they put in extra tickets. And they go, they draw the raffle, and they see that the person won. Okay, they announce the winner, great. And then he wins a second prize. Tells them, oh, I never put in for that. So, this question is actually discussed by an Achron named the Chavos Yoyer, who lived in Europe. It's brought down in the Pischei Tshuva on the page in the Shulchan Aruch. This is the second Maromokam on your sheet. And The Piskei Tshuva over there says that if a ticket was left, was added, and should not have been there, that invalidates the process. And whoever won did not win, and they would have to do it again. Whole thing is bottled.
Even if that person didn't win.
I'll get to that in a second. What's the source? The Chavos Yar quotes our Gemara, the next piece in the Gemara. So I'd like to quickly read the Gemara, the next part of the Gemara inside. Itmar, by the two dots, that first piece that we had. Shnei Achim Shecholku. You have two brothers that divide. They're dividing, just like the Gemara before, with the Goro, with the lottery. Uvolahem Achim Medina Sayyam. And then another brother, all of a sudden, long lost brother, has money to divide. He comes running in. Haven't seen him for years. Comes in from Medina Sayyam. Rav Amar Batla Machlokes. If a factor comes in, which they didn't realize, they left someone out. Rav says, Batla Machlokes. Shmuel argues, Bahalacha Lamaisa Lipaskin like Rav. Thus, the Tshuvas Chavos Yair says, if you have a situation where somebody is left out, Batla, a lottery, a Goral, the lottery doesn't work. As someone brought up, let's get more ingenuitive. Let's make the case where a ticket was left out. And the person whose ticket was left out, the organization comes to him and says, look, we had a raffle. Reuven won. But you, Shimon, your ticket was left out. Shimon says, oh, Reuven's my good friend. Oh, no, no. I wouldn't want to make any trouble for him. You know what? I'm mochel the fact my ticket was left out. I was mochel it. So what would you think there? The person whose ticket was left out was mochel. Reuven won. In such a case, the Chavos Yar still rules the entire raffle is invalid. Why? The person who lost out by it, the person who lost out by it is mochel. Everyone else in the raffle got a better chance, a better odds of winning, because somebody's ticket was left out. So what could be possibly wrong with keeping the results as is? Yet, the Chavos Yar rules, even in this case, he wants to even prove it in this same Gemara too, that even in such a case, I'll read to you the lines inside just to see it. If you look in that second Maor Malkum, that second piece, right where the lines get smaller, in the bottom, he writes, Mekol Malkum, nevertheless, Yachlikol Echa Mishnei Acham Avatel Gor Arishon Megamri, everyone could stop this raffle. Kamash Kosov B'Shulchan Aruch Sham. Afal Pi She'ein Shum Tam B'Svara Mitzana Seichel. Even there's no logical reason to stop such a thing. La'orah Shum Echameyam. Makom Makom, nevertheless, Goro Hanasa Shloka Hogan Batal. A raffle that was done not properly does not work. And I believe the logic behind this Tshuvas Chavos Yar is a very simple point. A goro is, we want to have a raffle, which is going to be based on mazel. We'll buy the tickets, we'll draw them, and whoever's mazel will win. In this case, there was somewhat a bit of a human intervention. There was a ticket that was left out. You didn't run the raffle purely the way you should have. If you don't run a raffle exactly, putting it up to the mazel, totally b'day shemayim, there is some human intervention, some human flaw involved. Even if that flaw is not something which people will have a taina about. But that doesn't matter, Mechavis Yerol. When you run a raffle, you have to run it perfectly if you want the raffle to work. Chalukas Eretz Yisrael, that was done perfectly. They ran a raffle. They didn't leave out a ticket. They ran it well. If you want to use a raffle, a goro, using the instrument of mazel as a means of determining who wins, you better be sure you get it right. So any degree of human fault, of human intervention that would hurt such a thing, would make a difference in such a thing, that would hurt it. Yes?
Even if it's intangible and the fact that one person's ticket was wiped out, like they didn't fill it out, it was just blank and they lost anyways?
Yes. That's exactly the case we're talking. Even in the case of where the loser, the guy whose ticket, right? Again, he says, I don't know who the winner and the loser, though. But even in that case where the ticket didn't win and the person knows about it and is mochel, all that, but any flaw in how the system is run could invalidate the whole thing. Yes? So I was waiting for that question. Excellent. But question was posed, you know, that was his mazel. His mazel was he should be the guy that the yeshiva office leaves out. But that's not the way the Chavos Yara looks at it. He looks, it has to be pure, everything has to be perfectly run. There's a certain expectation, you know. Now, I'll show you a very interesting thing. This issue is an issue which, if you look in this particular auction booklet, there's a disclaimer on page one, including in the small print. Now, I got complaints the first week. I gave small marmakomos. I'm sorry. I didn't make these marmakomos. But in the very, very small print, which you'll trust me here because you won't be able to read it, it not responsible for tickets accidentally left out of boxes. We are not responsible for problems that come out in the Chinese auction. Right there in the fine print on the bottom of this thing, I've seen other institutions spell out this halacha, that really if any ticket is left out, it becomes a halachic problem. And therefore we're asking everybody to begin with, when entering this raffle, please be mochel if there's anything that comes out like that.
How does that help?
I don't know if you
can
do that though.
Now we're getting into murky waters. Huh. This disclaimer, for the record, has been modified by some poskim. They've been asked that. But I'll tell you the other way. Most Chinese auction booklets do not have such disclaimers. Again, my unofficial study, my father is a big Chinese auction enthusiast. You know, and her family's done well. My father's retired, but he's a full-time Chinese auction enthusiast. And most Chinese auctions don't even have this disclaimer. But it's something to talk about. Based on this Shuvas Chavos Yar, there definitely is a tzad to do such a thing. I would like to explore a little bit later in the share, perhaps a reason to explain why you may not have to do such a thing and why it's a little different, perhaps, in some scenarios. The next issue I'd like to discuss is different types of Chinese auctions. The most basic of two is you'll have an auction where they raffle off a specific prize, and the winner of that ticket gets that prize. But there's another way to do it. In fact, my kid, every Motzi Shabbos during the winter, they have a big, beautiful, multiple people here in the room can testify, Avuk Zubanim program over here. And they have raffles. What do? They have a huge table full of prizes. If they pull your ticket, you get to pick any prize. Now, obviously, the kids who win earlier get a better selection of prizes. But that, if you realize, is a different type of auction. The winner doesn't get a specific prize, but rather what the winner gets is a choice, is the ability to choose a prize. So I found there's a tshuva Shavos Yaakov, also found in the Pesachei Tshuva, here on the bottom of the first page. And he writes a very interesting point. He makes a distinction. He says the first case of where you're having a raffle, an auction for a specific prize, that's a valid raffle, a pi halacha, a pi hilchos goro, because that's what happened in Eretz Yisrael. They divvied up specific portions of Eretz Yisrael based on the raffle. But when it comes to the second raffle, what are you doing? You're winning the chance for you to pick something. That, he says, is an invalid raffle. That wouldn't be the same thing. If your source of a raffle is from this Gemara about a goro, and this Gemara, they're directly getting this prize, so that's a means of doing it. But to have a person then choose his own prize, then he's not winning from a raffle. What right does he have to take the prize and keep the prize? It's a good question. He's picking it up, he's making a kinyan on it that way. But don't view that the same way that this is considered a raffle. And I saw over here too, people explain with the same logic that we just said before. A raffle is using the instrument of mazel. It's the instrument of mazel that we derived from this Gemara when they divided Eretz Yisrael. So only if it mirrors that, an exact means, then you can have a winner through a raffle. You're getting exactly what was raffled off. No human intervention, purely mazel. But if you're doing a raffle and then you're choosing, so you're intervening. You're choosing what you get. So this, the Shvos Yaakov, says would not work in terms of a goro. Very interesting. But I found, I believe, a source that would, in my mind, change both of these pre-discussed topics. And that source is Chaim Brisker. Mm-hmm. Chaim Brisker is famous for his Sefer on the Rambam. Many people say, forever changing the studies in yeshivas. There's a very interesting Rambam. If you turn to the back of your sheets, this is a Rambam that's found in Hilchos Shcheinim, halachas of people living next to each other. If you look on that first paragraph, Ha'achim shecholku v'also b'neim goril, brothers that divide the case in Baal Basra, and they make a lottery, kivin sha'ala goler l'echem ehem kanakula, everyone is kona, with the benefit that each one listened to each other, the something that they agreed to do, it works as a kinyan to each one. He quotes there the Ravid, the arch nemesis many times of the Rambam. The Ravid writes, I don't like what the Rambam's saying. Very pithy comment, doesn't explain himself what the basis of this is. And of course, this is fertile ground for the people trying to understand the Rambam, to what's the machlokas here between the Ravid and the Rambam? What does the Ravid not like about what the Rambam said? And Chaim Brisker concludes, it's a fascinating idea. He says that really, the Ravid has no problem with the Rambam's halacha. In fact, seemingly, what did the Rambam do wrong? He's quoting a Gemara. It's not a Rambam that missed the Gemara. This is a Rambam quoting the Gemara. People here don't understand, where's the Ravid coming from? But what they're bothered by is the following, a very interesting point. Is the Ravid says, why is the Rambam spending so much time focusing on that, on the words in that Gemara of Ravashi? With the hana that a person listened to him, that's why he's ready to make a kinyan. The Gemara used that to explain, okay, there's a kash with Ur v'tumim, but the reason why a goro works is it works like the goro from Eretz Yisrael. So the Rav gets troubled. Why is the Rambam focusing so much on the end of that Gemara? So that's the Rav gets problem. He has no problem with the Rambam's halacha. Of course a Gorel should work. But he's bothered by it. Why is the Rambam spending so much time about that end of the Gemara? Chaim Brisker says, you know why the Rambam spent time with the end of the Gemara? Because the end of that Gemara revolutionizes the concept of Gorel. If you turn back to the end of that Gemara, the gear so that we have in our Gemara is Amar Rav Ashi. This is a very important point when you learn Gemaras. If the Gemara falls off an idea they said before, the Gemara always uses a term, Ella Amar Rav Ashi. There is a girsa that some people have in this Gemara. Ella Amar Rav Ashi. Rav Chaim Brisker suggests that this Rambam is learning that really a goro, a lottery, doesn't work the same way as Eretz Yisrael. When they divided Eretz Yisrael, that was with the Urim V'tumim. That was with complete mazel. Me Hashem Yatzah Hadavar. You know why a lottery works for brothers to divide a Yerusha? Nothing to do with the mazel of dividing up Eretz Yisrael. A lottery is a human means of divvying up something. We have a suffix. We don't know which brother should get what. So it's a form of figuring out how to deal with things. It's a form of people working out what's the best way to divide something up. It's not an instrument of mazel. It's a purely a human enterprise. That's what Reb Chaim Brisker says. Achora, based on this Reb Chaim Brisker, I would think that this would change the halacha in the previous two topics. When a ticket is left out, especially in the last case, of where everyone's maskim to what happened. The ticket was left out, but one person who lost the ticket says a mochel. Everybody else involved can't have a means for a taina because their chances went up. The words the Chavos Yar himself used is there's ain shum svara a taina. There's no logic to argue. But nevertheless, it's batal because that involved human intervention and a lottery is pure mazel. But according to this understanding of Chaim Brisker and the Rambam, which seems like the Shulchan Aruch Paschal is like this Rambam, according to this interpretation, a lottery is totally different. A lottery is a means of human people working out how to divvy something up. It's not magical. It's not based on mazel. Obviously, there is mazel involved behind the scenes. But it's an agreement. A lottery is an agreement between people. We want to divide something. We want to figure it out this way. Instead of shooting foul shots, you know, basketball shots, flipping a coin, we want to divide it this way, putting numbers into a hat and pulling something out. That's how we want to divide it up. And if we're maskin to the results, kol kavod, there's no reason to stop it. Similarly, the second point, is there a differentiation whether you choose your prize or the prize is given to you? If you're learning it out of Eretz Yisrael, this magical din of mazel, of how they used it in Eretz Yisrael, then you're right. It has to be specific to the way they did it. You have to follow the instructions to a T. But if the way you do it is, look, this is the way, we're all going into this agreement ahead of time. We're setting it up. Whoever wins gets to pick a prize. That's 100% a raffle, just like any other raffle. Because the nature of a raffle, according to Reb Chaim Brisker's interpretation of the Rambam, is based on the human agreement. This is what we do. It's a means of arbitrating something. Who wins? Who gets what? 100% that works. Very, very interesting. You know, you have, you know, in Hilchos Dayanim, a similar type idea. You know, sometimes, you know, Dayanim could paskin on a shayla, but even in halacha, there's an idea of arbitration, of people working out, let's work out an agreement. Let's try to find some common ground. That's really what's going on over here, according to Reb Chaim Brisker's Rambam, and what a lottery is. It's a means of arbitrating who gets what, who wins what. And such a thing will have different rules than if it's an instrument of mazel, the first way that people interpret it. So I believe we walk away today with two different mechanics, two different understandings of how a lottery works. It could work as an instrument of mazel, and if you do it that way, there's very specific guidelines of what you have to follow. But there's this other interpretation that really a lottery is just a means of people arbitrating who gets what. And that way, there's different form of rules. The one last area I'd like to touch is Meiser. Now really, the psak, which Rav Moshe Feinstein gives, I have the Ma'ar Makom on the bottom of the second slide. Rav Moshe Feinstein clearly writes, talks about the concept of using Meiser money for Chinese auctions. And really it's something, I believe here in America, that's tremendously accepted. People use Meiser money for Chinese auctions. It's a type of thing, you know, outside of a Jewish Kiddush. You know, the idea of, you know, a win-win situation. People are always interested, you know, in giving Meiser for Kol Kavod. You get something out of it, giving to a Chinese auction. And Moshe says, that's fine. And I'll explain to you why. Moshe makes a distinction. Very interesting distinction. He makes a distinction between a case of where there's a set amount of tickets being sold versus a case where there's an unlimited amount of tickets being sold. Where there's an unlimited amount of tickets being sold, let's start there, because that's really what most Chinese auctions are. Every Jewish institution, for the most part, is looking to make as much money as they can. So they're going to sell as many tickets as they can. And when you buy the ticket, you have no clue exactly what your odds are in winning. In such a scenario, Moshe says, you're giving tzedakah. The chance you're going to win, how could you say you're buying a chance? You don't know exactly what that chance is. So really what you're doing is, you're giving money to tzedakah. If you happen to win, obviously you'll be very happy. And we'll talk about that in a moment, what to do if you win. Prepare everybody, hopefully, for tonight. But if it would be a raffle, which you sometimes do have, of a limited amount, there's only X amount of tickets being sold, and we're doing this to win this prize, then Rav Moshe writes, on that, you would have to deduct the value of the ticket. Because in such a case, you are getting something back. It's very interesting. One of our accounting buckies over here mentioned to me that it's tricky in American law for, you know, all these Chinese auctions are being run by non-profit organizations. And if a person gives a donation, if they're getting back a ticket, it's a tricky thing because they are getting something back. He says maybe they have to write no purchase necessary somewhere in fine print. One of these to get around.
You can
but,
get a ticket for free is what it means.
Right.
Yeah.
But according to Rav Moshe, there's a distinction, a little bit different. Rav Moshe understands if there's an unlimited amount of tickets being sold, in halacha, you're not buying anything. But if there's a clear amount of tickets being sold, then there is a value to that. In halacha, a person could, the Gemara talks about selling shtaros. Someone has a ksuba, right, people do this nowadays with life insurance policies. Right, you could speculate. Someone could buy into someone else's zechus, a star for something. Someone owes you money. Someone else could flip that, a mortgage. Right, we do that all the time. Halakhically, you could do such a thing. But that's only if there's a clear set value. If there's a set amount of tickets being sold, you could sell, therefore, the raffle ticket. Now, practically speaking, it's a very tricky thing. How do you figure out you're spending $50 for this Chinese auction ticket? Now, even if there's a set amount of tickets being sold, the value is not $50. The value is probably much less than that. So it's tricky evaluating how much money then should I deduct in that case of where there's a specific amount of tickets being sold for Maisa, how exactly I deduct that? We can talk about that after Shef. One final thing. Talk about winners. If a person wins a Chinese auction or a raffle, what does a person do in such a case? So Rav Moshe says, in such a case, in terms of Maisar, then your ticket, the full value of that ticket, then should be paid to Maisar, because you got something back with that ticket, the winning ticket. Plus, there is a halacha in Hilchos Maisar, even of gifts, giving Maisar on. And Rav Moshe says, where you win something, you should give Maisar on that gift. And he also says you should give that Maisar to the institution that you want it from. Because being the fact they're gracious enough to give you this prize and this gift, a person should try to return that money, a part of that money that you win, towards that institution. So to summarize today's share, we talked about the nature of a lottery in halakha, the basis of it seems to be this Gemara here in Bava Basra, coming up pretty soon in Daf Yomi, if not already. And the simple understanding of that Gemara is that a lottery is an institution of mazel. And you're trying to hook into that mazel, but that mazel can't be diminished by human intervention, by human mistake. If there are mistakes involved, that will invalidate the whole process. If there's a person choosing something involved, it also wouldn't work in the process. It has to be very specific to the ingredients that the Gemara gives from the Chalukas Haaretz. We found the Reb Chaim on the Rambam, which learns Pshat differently in that Gemara, where it really would change the whole nature of a lottery. That it's not just an institute, a means of using mazel, but really it's just a means of people arbitrating something, very simple, human enterprise, human created means of dividing something. And that's why you could divide all these things we talked about. Yahrzeits, tefillos, Yerusha. It would be a different type of dividing according to this Reb Chaim's Pshat in the Rambam. And practically at the end, in terms of Maaser, Reb Moshe makes distinctions between different types of raffles, whether you could totally count your donation as Maaser or not. And Bez Hashem, when we all win, we should be zochet to give back 10% to the institution we want from.
So there's 500 tickets sold, and it costs $500 per ticket. The value of the ticket is $1.
If 500 tickets are sold.
500 tickets sold, and it costs $500 per ticket. So the value of the ticket would be $1. That, as an example.
That might be a means of that, but I ask another tricky thing. Let's say the prize is donated. What do you do then? So you're right, the math would be, if they bought the prize, it would be one way, but if they got a sponsor for the prize...
Let's say they're buying the prize.
Right.
I mean, I'm just trying to figure out how to calculate...
Right, right. So in your case, yeah, I could hear the value being $1. I saw Rev Zucker from Chicago, Rosh Kol there. He said probably the smartest thing to do with these type of things is make a t'nai. When I'm buying the ticket, if I win... So then you know what? I bought it with my own money. If I lose, I'm giving all the money to the stucker. This is how you get around exactly calculating how much it is, because it's tricky. And you can always give extra money. You know, in your case, the dollar sounds like a reasonable thing.
Very good. Thank you, Carl.